Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. A night of torrential thunderstorms has brought deadly flash flooding to eastern and central Ohio. In the Ohio River town of Shadyside, three creeks surged out of their banks and swept through a trailer park. There are five confirmed deaths, and perhaps as many as 200 people have not been accounted for, possibly due to poor communications. Police are calling on residents to check in some way so they can get an accurate head count of the missing. James Amato is acting mayor of Sunnyside.
Mobile homes were just washed away. Homes on their foundations were washed away, several of those. And along with them, unfortunately, many individuals lost their property, and there were several victims as a result.
Authorities set up a temporary morgue at a funeral home and an evacuation center in a local elementary school. Linda Shaver, an emergency coordinator on duty at a local school housing evacuees, described the extent of the destruction.
There's Ouija Creek and Pipe Creek. 5 miles up each of them is lined on both sides of the road with homes that have, and trailers of people who have been wiped out of a home, totally devastated.
Ohio Governor Richard Celeste is now taking a helicopter tour of that flooded area. There's also been serious flooding in Nebraska. Most of the 367 residents of Platte Center fled their homes this morning as floodwaters covered half the town. Flooding elsewhere today in northeast Nebraska closed highways and swept cars from a parking lot near Lindsay. No injuries reported. The Louisiana State House has approved and sent to the Senate a measure that would be the nation's most restrictive state abortion law. Mike Longman reports from New Orleans affiliate WWL.
Abortion foes cheered Baton Rouge Representative Woody Jenkins for getting the toughest bill in the nation through the Louisiana House.
What we're really trying to do here is simply reenact our past abortion laws with some modernization of language. And that's a strict law that prohibits abortion. And the only way you can do that is to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Pro-choice advocates like Terry Bartlett cried foul, charging lawmakers with going too far.
We need to understand that this bill is unconstitutional, that Webster did not invite state legislatures to go through and send women back to archaic days, and that, in fact, it will be challenged. In the long run, we will win.
Because there is no exception in the proposal for rape or incest, Governor Buddy Romer plans to veto the measure, which calls for a $100,000 fine and up to 10 years in prison for a doctor convicted of performing an abortion. Mike Longman for CBS News, New Orleans.
Campaigning for the White House, George Bush promised workers time off for childbirth and family emergencies. Last night, the Senate passed such a bill, but this morning, the president confirmed he will veto it. Linda Tyra reports.
The bill supporters plan to wage a fierce battle to try to override a veto, even though they admit they may not have the votes. Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell is challenging the president to sign the bill.
President Bush has advocated a kinder and gentler America. It's time to see if we want to achieve such a nation through rhetoric alone or action.
But opponents are balking at the requirements the bill will impose on business. For companies with more than 50 workers, 12 weeks of unpaid leave for medical reasons or to care for family members. Supporters say a federal policy is long overdue, that other than South Africa, the United States is the only major industrialized nation that doesn't have a nationwide family leave plan. Linda Tyra, CBS News, Washington.
The latest economic numbers are out showing the U.S. merchandise trade deficit down 17% in April from the previous month. Officials also report consumer prices rising 0.2% in May. Imagine as you go to work today passing gangs of club-wielding coal miners who are free to search and question you and even beat you if they don't like your politics. That is today's reality in Bucharest, Romania, where the miners are supporting President-elect Ion Iliescu and have joined police in cracking down hard on anti-government protesters. In Bucharest this morning, this doctor spoke for many.
I am afraid of the people who doesn't understand that I have the right to have my ideas.
But as correspondent Betsy Aaron reports, there is little such understanding today.
The Romanian government has asked the miners to go home today, but for the time being, they are here, waving their sticks and rubber hoses at people, defending President Ion Iliescu's democracy. Iliescu's inauguration was supposed to take place tomorrow. It has been postponed, and so far there is no public explanation for the postponement. At the Interior Ministry, the ministry responsible for protecting the public, the police are protecting their building from the people. It is quiet, but it is far from normal today in Bucharest. Betsy Aaron, CBS News, Bucharest.
Officials at NATO headquarters in Brussels say the Soviet Union has proposed talks on removal of all short-range nuclear weapons from Europe. But they say the U.S. is likely to reject that offer. NATO has said it will start talks on the issue only after a Vienna agreement on slashing conventional forces in Europe is signed. probably by the end of this year. The government might have to return millions of dollars it seized from ousted Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega. Judge William Hoover in Miami has warned he will order the money released unless prosecutors can connect it to drug trafficking. Noriega attorney John May.
What Judge Hoover said was that the United States government could not seize an individual's assets and bank accounts without first making a showing that those bank accounts are somehow derived from illegal activity.
Without that money, Noriega has not been able to pay his lawyers, who estimate their bill might total $5 million. For a seventh day, fires continue to burn on the Norwegian tanker Mega Borg as globs of its oily cargo head for Texas beaches. CBS News reporter Scott Pelley has that.
This morning, oil-skimming vessels are being positioned closer to shore to intercept the slick leaked by the tanker Mega Borg. Equipment is being stockpiled on the beaches to help contain oil that is expected to come ashore in the form of tar balls. Later this morning, salvage crews will attempt to pump oil out of one of the ship's leaking cargo tanks in hopes of cutting off fuel to the fire. Also today, special oil-eating bacteria will be released in the water to help reduce the slick. Scott Pelley, CBS News, Galveston.
About a dozen people were hurt in London today in the emergency evacuation of a New York-bound TWA jetliner at Heathrow Airport. That followed a faulty cockpit indicator warning of a fire. An airline spokesman said a problem with an air conditioning unit caused the fire warning light to go on. The Bush administration reportedly is discussing with key senators possible compromises in the proposed Civil Rights Act of 1990, hoping to avoid a battle in the Senate while Nelson Mandela visits the United States. The Washington Post reports a major issue being decided is whether the legislation will encourage employers to resort to hiring quotas in order to avoid costly discrimination lawsuits. In Detroit, there was partying in the streets after the hometown Pistons won this year's National Basketball Association championship. Vinny Johnson's shot with 0.7 seconds left gave the Pistons a 92-90 win over the Trailblazers in Portland. Some of the celebrating got out of hand. A young child was killed by a car and some scattered violence was reported. The dollar is stronger in overseas trading. Gold recovered from yesterday's losses, the London fixing $347.05 an ounce. And on Wall Street, the Dow is down 9 points. It's 7:10.